Thank you. Okay. And somebody pray for our time in God's Word. Thank you. Last week we finished the Sermon on the Mount. It ends at the end of chapter 7. And we saw the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount was that the crowds were astonished at his teaching because he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. And so there's this idea that of the authority of Jesus. We talked about that last week. When he finished these sayings, he then came down from the mountain, and that begins a new section in Matthew. And so, in this section, starting in chapter 8, Jesus is mostly not teaching. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is all teaching. That's all it is. But now we're going to see Jesus, he's not going to be teaching with authority. He's actually going to be exercising his authority. Matthew 8, verses 1 through 4. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, "I will be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony to them." Verse 1 simply concludes the Sermon on the Mount. So in chapter 5, verse 1, Jesus goes up on the mount and sat down and began to teach his disciples, saying, and then you get the Beatitudes. And now he comes down from the mount. And so that whole section is concluded by he goes up on the mountain, he comes down from the mountain, and he teaches while he's up there. Before we look at these verses, what's going on here, I want to look at the big picture of what's happening. And so I told you that Matthew is beginning a new section, and this new section is mostly not teaching. There's a little bit of teaching sprinkled in there, but it's mostly not teaching. This new section is going to be primarily miracles. We're just going to see Jesus working. And so just follow along in your Bible with me. Matthew 8, verses 2 through 4. Jesus is going to cleanse a leper. Verses 5 through 13. A centurion is going to come to him. A centurion is a Roman soldier. And this Roman soldier is going to come to Jesus, and he has a servant who's ill. And Jesus is going to heal this servant. And the issue is going to be authority. If you look at verse 9, the Roman soldier says, "For I too am a man under authority." And he's saying Jesus can heal because Jesus has the authority to heal. He's exercising his authority. So the idea of authority is still going on in these next two chapters. It's just transitioning from teaching authority to working out miracles authority. Then you move on, verses 14 to 17, and Jesus is simply healing different people. He heals Peter's mother-in-law, and then there's sort of a generic, he's healing other people as well. Then he talks about the cost of following him. So that's a teaching, but it's a teaching related. It's still also related in a way, to his authority. He has the authority to demand that you make that cost. Then he's going to calm a storm, and he's going to speak to the wind, and it's going to stop. And he's going to speak to the waves, and it's going to stop. And they're going to marvel at, who is this man? And then he's going to heal two men with demons. He's going to cast out demons from these men. This is the story of the Gadarene, the guy at the man of the tombs, the Gadarene. And that's chapter 8. Chapter 9 just continues it. He's going to heal a paralyzed man in the beginning of chapter 9. And the issue there, again, it's directly stated. If you go to 9, verse 6, Jesus is going to say, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the man, "I say to you, rise and walk." And then if you go to verse 8, the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. So the issue's authority in that story. And so we'll get there. Then he's going to call Matthew, and he's going to tell Matthew, "Come follow me," as if he has the authority to do that. Then he's going to give some teaching on fasting. And then we have a whole series of other miracles. There looks like three more miracles in chapter 9 where he's going to heal people. He's going to raise a girl from the dead. He's going to heal some blind men. He's going to heal a man who's not able to speak. And this is the section we're moving into. And then the end of chapter 9 gives a summary. He went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and casting out demons and healing and so on. And so it's kind of a summary of the specific instances that we get all along the way. And so, in chapters 5 through 7, Jesus teaches with authority. At the end of 7, the crowds are astonished at his teaching because he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. And now in chapters 8 and 9, he's going to be acting as if he has authority. And so that the end of chapter 7, in a way, is like a little, it's a door from the Sermon on the Mount to the next section in Matthew when he's talking about the authority of Jesus. In summary, I will say all these miracles we're getting ready to move into, Matthew does a lot of, particularly with these miracles, topical arrangements. What that means is, in terms of the chronology, these could have happened at different times in Jesus's life. It's not necessarily... Matthew's transitions, his time transitions, are very vague. Verse 2 just says, "And behold, a leper came to him." When? Well, if you could... Some people will say, well, from it just follows because of where it's located here. But that's all he says. "And behold, a leper came to him." And so a lot of the miracles are that way. This is a topical arrangement that Matthew is giving. And so let's look at verses 1 through 4. Jesus is going to heal a leper. A leper, do you guys know the word leprosy, what this is? Yes. You know this. Okay, good. So this man has leprosy. He has an incurable skin disease. He was unclean. In fact, that's the thing he asks for. He doesn't ask for healing. He says, "If you will, you can make me clean." He comes to Jesus. And I love that. He comes to Jesus. The leper does. This man's heart has been prepared for Jesus, probably by leprosy. See, sometimes God prepares our hearts through difficult things, hard things. The hard things of life make us more ready for God. I think of Jacob, and he's getting ready to go back into the land. He's been out of the land with his uncle Laban for at least 14 years, and he's getting ready to go back. And the last time he left, his brother Esau was going to kill him. In fact, that's why he left. Esau was going to kill him. And his mom said, get out of here fast. Go to my uncle Laban. He left. Okay, he's coming back. Only now he's coming back with two wives and a whole bunch of kids and sheep and flocks and so on. And he gets a message. And the message is this. Esau is coming with 400 men. His heart is now ready for God. And he spends that whole night wrestling with God. That's what happened before he wrestles with God. We always get to the wrestling with God part, but we forget it. That's why he's wrestling with God. He doesn't know if he's going to be alive tomorrow. It's the hard stuff that prepares our heart for God. It's the, you know, the currency isn't doing so well with Iran right now. That's difficult. We don't wish that on people. But yet God uses that kind of stuff in the hearts of people to make them ready. He uses things like leprosy to cause a man to come to Jesus. That's what he's doing with this man. Some people have to suffer before they will come to Jesus. And so this man knows he needs Jesus. He knows it. He's unclean. And he comes, and it says he kneels before him. The word there can also be translated, he worships him. In the Greek, the word to worship and to bow are pretty much the same word. And so whether it means knelt or whether it means worship, I don't know. But I think there may be a double meaning there. That this man is coming before the Lord and worshiping him. He knows Jesus has the power and the authority to make him clean. That's why he comes. He even says to Jesus, if you will, you can. He knows Jesus has the power. That is called faith. That's what that is. This leper has faith. That's verse 2. Verse 3, Jesus responds to the man. First, he touches him. Now, you got to think, first century Jewish culture, leprosy, touch. Jesus isn't, that's actually against the law. Jesus is breaking the law by touching this man. Touching this leper makes Jesus unclean, according to the law. But Jesus is okay with that. He's going to touch this man anyway. He wants the man to know his kindness. He wants the man to know his heart, the heart of Christ. And Jesus will come and touch you, even in your sin. He'll do that. See, if Jesus was not afraid of this man's uncleanness, then neither will he be afraid of yours and mine. He'll reach out and touch us. And then he speaks very simple words. Here are Jesus' words. I will. Be clean. Those are powerful words, guys. I will be clean. Not only does Jesus have the power and the authority to cleanse this man, He also has the desire to cleanse this man. He wants to do it. And so, in the end, the event that should have made Jesus unclean winds up making the leper clean. Jesus touches him and says, "I will be clean." And the leper is cleansed. Jesus is not made unclean. The leper is made clean in that transaction. So then, put yourself into the sandals of this leper. You're this guy right now. Let's just pretend. What are your feelings right now after Jesus just did this? What do you feel? Live question. You can answer it.
I'm amazed.
You're amazed. Okay.
Thankful.
And somehow he could sense that the cleansing had happened.
Yeah.
In his heart.
Yeah.
I don't know if like just all of a sudden his skin was completely normal again.
Yeah.
I think it probably was.
Yeah. Okay. You're grateful. You're amazed. He can feel the cleansing that has happened. Okay. What are you getting ready to do?
Tell everybody.
Yeah. Okay. Then Jesus says this, verse 4. He said to them, "See that you say nothing to anyone." There's probably a reason why he said that, given what you guys were just telling me. "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony to them." That's what he says. Now, the idea isn't, I don't think he's literally saying, don't ever say anything to anybody, because he's actually telling him to say something to the priest in the same verse. And so I think the idea is, don't talk to anybody, go first to the priest. And I think that's the idea. Follow what the law says. Jesus is telling him to obey the law here. The law commanded when a leper was cleansed, he had to go see the priest. The priest had to examine it and make sure it was, you know, everything was all kosher. And if it was, the priest pronounced him clean. It was an official priestly declaration by the law that this man is now clean. And Jesus is saying, go do that. That's what he's doing. Offer the gift that the law commands of you. And so what Jesus is doing is Jesus wants the priests to acknowledge the healing. Because if you think about the priests and their relationship with Jesus in the New Testament, it's antagonistic. The priests generally oppose Jesus. And so he doesn't want this man telling people where this happened and why this happened. He wants the priests to pronounce him clean first, before they even know the details. Just pronounce him clean. Once that is done so, Jesus is going to use the law as a witness to Jesus. Because that's what's going to happen. Once the priests pronounce this man clean, the law is now declaring the glory of God in Jesus Christ and what he just did. And a priest is going to declare this man clean. And that declaration is going to then be a testimony to them. That's what he says. The whole point of it is in the end of that verse. Offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. as a witness to them is the literal word. And so the kingdom of God has come in Jesus Christ, and the law is going to testify to it. Now, guys, I believe that when God gave this law to Moses, which it's in Leviticus 14 if you want to look it up, but when God gave this law to Moses about 1400 years before Jesus, God knew that that law would be used to testify to this event right here. He knew it 1400 years in advance. In fact, I almost think that the whole procedure that God gave the priests for testifying to the cleansing of a leper, that whole procedure may have been given just for this one event. Jesus' actions here may be the main purpose of that law in Leviticus. Jesus said, I haven't come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've come to fulfill it. Okay. Now, we kind of walked through the story. That's the story. It's a simple story. And so you kind of have the events and what's going on and probably why Jesus is doing some of the things he's doing and so on. So, what then does that have to say to us today? Because, I mean, you and me, you don't have leprosy. And I don't have leprosy. And so it's, okay, it's a nice story from 2,000 years ago, right? That's all it is, but it has nothing to do with us. Guys, here's the deal. We can still come to Jesus. That's what this leper did. He came to Jesus. So what is your situation? You're sick. You need work. You have no peace. Come to Jesus. You want eternal life? Come to Jesus. Your life is empty? Come to Jesus. Are you in trouble? Come to Jesus. Jesus said this. He said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are weary, and I will give rest to your souls. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He calls us, "Come to me." That's what Jesus says. Come to me. Who? All of you who are weary and burdened. Basically, come to me in your difficulties. This leper had difficulties. This leper came to Jesus. That's the invitation Jesus offers. Now, I believe when we do come to Jesus, we need to believe he has the power and the authority that he has. That's actually why the leper came. The leper actually believed Jesus could do something. And the authority is in Jesus. Jesus doesn't say, "If God wills." Jesus says, "I will be clean." Not the man doesn't do that either. If God wills, it's if you will. We need to say the same to Jesus. We need to say, "Jesus, you can heal me. Jesus, you give me peace. You are eternal life. Jesus, you give me purpose and fulfillment. You rescue me from my difficulties. You provide a job. You give me what I need." There needs to be this belief in us from the heart. It needs to be from the heart that Jesus can do these things. And so we have to reach the point where Jesus is our solution. Now, I'm not saying, when I say Jesus is our solution, I don't mean that as some kind of, you know, you don't see the doctor because Jesus is your solution. I'm not saying that. You don't go talk to a friend because Jesus is your solution. Go see the doctor, go talk to the friend, go, you know, there are these earthly means God gives us that we need to make use of. But behind it, we need to see Jesus as our solution. And so, power for all of those things is in Christ. Power for healing is in Christ. Power for peace is in Christ. Power for forgiveness is in Christ. Eternal life is in Christ. He is our Savior. Christ is our Savior. That's the first thing we have to do. We have to believe He has the power and the authority to actually deal with whatever our situation is. Second thing, we have to believe He's willing. I will, Jesus said, be clean. See, Jesus wants to give us peace, and He wants to give us eternal life, and He wants to grant us forgiveness, and He wants to rescue our souls from whatever troubles us. He wants to be our refuge and strength. I think even physical healing, I think He often wants that. That's what this is. This is a physical healing here. Guys, here's the deal. Jesus loves you. He really does. Jesus is not just a powerful king who sits on a throne way up somewhere, and He has no heart. Jesus is not Kim Jong-un. He has a heart for you and for me. He has the power, yes. But He also has the desire for you and me. He wants what's best for us. And He will reach out and touch you. He will. He will touch you in your pain. He'll touch you in your sin. He'll touch you in your trouble. He'll say to you, be clean, my son, or be clean, my daughter. Be whole. Jesus does this. It's how He works. But we often won't go to Him. See, He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. But so often we don't come to Him. Sometimes, you know, we're busy. We have our reasons. Sometimes we're proud. We won't come to Him because, well, I can handle this. That's pride, is what that is. Sometimes we actually don't want to give up our sin. And we know if we come to Him, He's going to ask us to give it up. Because repentance is part of the deal of coming to Jesus. Or our pleasure. Sometimes God needs to make us desperate for Jesus before we'll come to him, as I believe he did with this leper. Sometimes we need to see we really don't have any other hope. Jesus is our hope. There is no other hope. It's Jesus or nothing. Sometimes we don't really see that. And God needs to open our eyes so that we see that. It means money is not our hope. Our good works are not our hope. I think of Ramadan. Our prayers and our fastings are not our hope. Lots of people during this month are putting their hope in those things, and it's empty. None of that stuff makes us whole. Christ makes us whole. That's what he did with the leper. So come to him. That's the invitation. Come to him, believing he has the power and authority to deal with whatever your issue is, and believing he also has the heart that has your best interests in mind. We're going to close this way. I'm just going to ask us to pray. You can pray aloud, acknowledging the power and authority and the heart of Jesus. And so, in specifically in our lives, you can relate it to a specific instance in your life if you wish. In fact, that's even better if you do. The more specific, the better. And so, let's pray, acknowledging those things of our Lord as it relates to us in our lives.